amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers, chapter 14. Been trying to preach to you on Wednesday night from the life of Moses. And if you've been here ever Wednesday night here lately, I hope you figured that out a good while back. But I want to just preach to you a little, like I say, on from the life of Moses and try to give you some help. There's some things here that is a good example for us. And if you will, we're going to begin reading down in verse 11, Numbers 14, verse 11. This is right after the spies had been sent into the land of Canaan. They had come back, those 12 spies, 10 of them had said, there's no way, we can't win, we can't overcome them. And the two spies had said, let's go get them, we can whoop them, all right? We're ready to go, we can take the land. And unfortunately, the people took the majority report, and so they decided they couldn't go, and they sort of rebelled against God. So we get that. That's where we are at verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of a fire by night. I just want to stop there in a second and say, how'd they know all of that? How'd they know all of that? Hey, there was no telephone, there was no television, there was no mass communication, and they had been out in the wilderness for a while, but the Bible said they knew what was going on, all right? In verse 15, now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, that as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I'm going to leave off reading right there. If you read in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I get the idea that, I'm not sure but what Moses was given the most difficult job any human's ever been given. Man, he had to deal with some people. God called him from the backside of the desert, all right? He was out there, and he called him from the backside of the desert to come and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. But man, as you read through those books, especially Exodus and Numbers, we find out just how difficult a job that was to do. It wasn't easy. It was difficult because of the natural obstacles. Hey, they were in a wilderness. They were in a desert area. It was difficult because of the lack of resources. Once again, it was a desert, so there wasn't water. It was not easy to find water. It wasn't easy to find food. It was difficult because of the opposition from enemies. If you remember, we talked about how they had to fight the Amalekites. The Amalekites came against them and wanted to destroy them, and so they had to fight them. So it was a difficult job, but none of those was the toughest part. The toughest part of the job was dealing with the people. It was dealing with the people of God, the Israelites. And they were so difficult to deal with because they were a belligerent, murmuring, complaining, and stubborn lot of people. None of those words describe any of us, of course. Unfortunately, they do, all right? Hey, the worst thing, their memory was short. Their memory was short. Hey, you go back there to verse 11, and God said, how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? Hey, they had a short memory. Their gratitude was very, very weak. Very weak. God had supplied them water miraculously. God had fed them miraculously. Their gratitude for all of that was very weak. Their obedience to him, the best word I come up with was spotty. Sometimes they'd obey. Oftentimes they wouldn't obey, all right? Their allegiance, oh my soul, was it forever fickle, right? They were a difficult people. But it's in the midst of all of that that the greatness of Moses shines forth, especially when we see what we see here in this verses we've read tonight. We see the prayer life of Moses. Oh my, man, here again we've seen the failure of the nation of Israel. They had the opportunity to go in and conquer the land. God had said, I've given it to you. And they sent in spies, look it over, and they came back and said, hey, the land's exactly what God said. And it's, you know, flowing with milk and honey. It's productive, man. It's amazing. But we can't beat the people in there, all right? And so they refused to obey the Lord. They refused to move on to possess the promised land. And again, they come and they provoke the Lord to anger against them. Now, you talk about how serious it was. You read verse 12. Look at verse 12 with me. He said, I will smite them, that's the nation of Israel, with a pestilence and disinherit them. He said, I'm going to give up on all of them. I'm done with them. And he's talking to Moses. He said, Moses, I'm going to make of you, I'll make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. All right? He was really ready to destroy them and to begin again with Moses alone and raise up a greater and a mightier nation. That's how provoked he was. But it was right there that we see Moses do what he had done before. We see what he had done before when they sinned at Sinai. When they, man, you know, their idolatry was revealed and God was angry with them, but Moses prayed. Moses prayed for them. He prayed to God on behalf of the Israelites. He prayed on behalf of God's people. But you need to remember this, they were his people. They were his people. So I want us to take a look, all right? There's instruction for you and I in that intercessory prayer that he prayed. Now, I don't know how much you pray. Most of us do not pray the way we should. We don't pray as much as we ought to pray. The majority, I think, of folks, their prayer is it's really strong when they're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, when it's really tough, they really start to pray. But I mean, if everything's running along all right, we don't need God, so we don't pray. And, you know, there's just not a whole lot of prayer life out of people. And when we do pray, oftentimes I think it's a very selfish thing. But I want you to notice the intercessory prayer that Moses prayed. First of all, hey, he sought a blessing for his people. He sought a blessing for his people. Not just any old blessing. It wasn't, Lord, would you bless them? It wasn't a generalized thing, all right? No, it was a blessing. It was what they needed more than they needed anything else in the world. Look down in verse 19, would you? You said, what is it that they needed more than anything else? They needed pardon. He said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Pardon the iniquity of this people. He said, what are you talking about? He's asking for forgiveness. That's what he's asking for. Hey, folks, that's the number one thing people need. We need forgiveness. I mean, the best of us, we need forgiveness. There's not a one that can stand up and say, well, not me. I'm all right. Everything's good between me and God. Wait a minute. The only problem with that is Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 in the same chapter says, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us, all right? There's not any of us better than the other one. We've all sinned. And what we need is forgiveness. We need the forgiveness that only God can give. And it's amazing, sometimes a lot of people seem to think that they need a lot of other things ahead of forgiveness. I think most every time when I pray, very early on in the prayer, it's, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I need you to forgive me. I know I've failed you, all right? Hey, that's man's most important need. Mankind, the whole world needs forgiveness of sin, all right? The whole world needs that. So Moses' prayer, boy, he sought a blessing for the people, and that blessing was, I want you to forgive their sin, forgive their iniquity, pardon them for what they've done, all right? But I want you to notice the way he asked for it. Notice the basis of that prayer, would you? Look again there in verse 19. He said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. According to the greatness of thy mercy. Hey, listen, that was the basis of the whole plea. Moses was, he knew better, if you will, than to foolishly pray that forgiveness would be given on the basis of their merit. Because they didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. Look, friend, you and I don't deserve anything from God. We don't deserve anything from God. No matter how good you may think you've done, we just don't deserve anything. But yet it's amazing when we see how many people today seem to think that that's the way to get to heaven. I put a new prayer letter back there this evening just for church and slid it in. And the missionary there is talking about it, and he's talking about how he's dealing with these people, and he is talking about their need for faith in God because they had sinned, and they needed to come to God by faith and to ask him for forgiveness of that sin. And that forgiveness, we ask it on the basis of what? On the basis of the mercy of God. Not because we've done anything to deserve it. Not at all right? Man, it would have been ridiculous for Moses to base his request on the basis of the merit of these people. I mean, what would you have said they had good at and they had done that deserved it, all right? What had they done to deserve any forgiveness? I mean, Lord, they did leave Egypt. Well, some of them were kind of drug out almost, all right? And they've griped ever since they've left, all right? And there's no merit there. Hey, wait, even more so, is there any merit for any of us to ask for salvation on the basis of what we had done? No way. We've not done anything. But wait a minute, it goes beyond salvation. I believe with all my heart that everything we ask for from God ought to be on the basis of his mercy. On the basis of his mercy. My soul, there is nothing that we deserve. We don't deserve what we want. We don't deserve what we need. So often we're like the Israelites. I talk about they had a short memory, so often we do too. We're quick to forget the goodness of God. Our allegiance to him is very fickle. People are, I love the Lord. Well, as long as everything's going good, as long as I'm seeming to get what I want and it's going my way, yep, I'm right with you, Lord. But I think of old Job. Job had lost his family, he had lost his wealth, and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, he understood, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve what I have. You don't deserve what you have. Our coming to God's always, Lord, because of your great mercy. Would you pardon my iniquity? Would you grant my request? All right. But I want you to notice something else Moses did. You notice this thing that he did when he prayed. It's a good thing when you pray to have some good support for your request. You said, what do you mean by that? Well, I want you to notice what he said. Moses' plea to God, you notice how he asked. His plea, it did not start out with, now, Lord, these people may be an ungodly bunch and an ungrateful bunch and a complaining and a griping, but they're your people. He didn't start out that way. You go back there, if you will, and look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, if you wipe them out, then the Egyptians shall hear it. And he said, now you brought this people up out of Egypt, but they're going to hear what happened to them, and they're going to tell everybody, the inhabitants of this land, all right? They know the relationship you have. And he said, what's going to happen in verse 15 is, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. You don't notice what Moses did. What Moses did and the way he pled, and his plea was predicated, if you will, on the glory and the honor of God. He's saying, Lord, if you do what you just said, it's gonna look bad on you. It's gonna look bad on you. If you do that, then people are gonna say, well, he's the one who said he'd take them into the land, but he wasn't able to get them in there, so he killed them. Moses' prayer was based on God's glory, all right? He said, you're not gonna look good. You're not gonna look powerful enough as a God. And all the lands around are going to hear that, all right? Hey, his prayer was predicated on God's glory, not Moses. Too often, man, when we pray, it reflects a desire for glory on our part, personal glory, rather than the God's glory we're praying for. Man, when you can make that plea and you got support for your prayer, not just in, Lord, I want it, but you got support for it. You ever had your kid come in and ask for something? And they said, now, I'm going to tick off these things. If you realize, if you'd give it, how good it's going to be. Now, they're building their argument. You with me? Wait a minute. All right? Sometimes Brother Dunbar comes to me and he builds his argument for what he thinks we need to do. He said, this and this and this, and that's what he's doing. He's building his argument, okay? I want you to see I'm backing it up. There's support for what I'm asking for. Hey, when you go to God, you ought to be that way. You want to get what you want from God, learn to come to him with the idea and that request based not for my glory, not for anything that's going to come to me, but, Lord, look how it's going to make you look and how to bring glory and honor to you. And something else, look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. He said, now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, here it is, according as thou hast spoken. His request was based upon what God had said. What God had said. It's according as thou hast spoken. Look, if you want results from your prayer, then you need to learn to pray in conformity with the Word of God. Not just praying for something, well, I want this or I want that. If you will, you need to learn to pray in the will of God. In the will of God. Is this something that I can pray and I can ask for in the will of God that'll be a blessing and a help and bring honor to God? Or is it just going to put something on me? See, there's a lot of difference in that kind of praying, all right? Man, how much better it is when you come and you've got support for your prayer. When Moses prayed to God, he came and his prayer was, Lord, I just want to remind you, if you do what you said, it's going to look bad on you. It's going to make you look like you're not powerful. But Lord, if you'll do what I'm asking you to do, hey, I'm just asking you to do what you've said. What you've said. That's all. Man, I don't, man, when you come to pray, it's a good thing to come and say, Lord, I just want to remind you, you've said we have not because we ask not. So I'm asking. I'm asking. And not a thing in the world wrong with that. But I'll tell you something else. There's not a thing in the world wrong with saying, Lord, if it be thy will. Praying in the will of God. And I heard a guy one time on Christian television or radio said, don't ever pray like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the way you ought to pray. It ought to be in the will of God. According to thy word. According to thy word. Now here's Moses. Here's his prayer, all right? He's asking for a blessing on his people. He's coming. He's seeking it on the basis of mercy. He's coming and he's supporting that prayer with, Lord, I just want to remind you what you've said. I just want to remind you about those things. But man, look at the amazing unselfishness of his prayer. Look again at verse 12. If this offer had been made to you, how would you have failed? I'm going to smite them with pestilence, disinherit them, and then I'm going to take you and make a greater nation and mightier than they. Boy, if that offer was made to you, what would your answer have been? Man, that sounded pretty good. You talk about a promotion. And I'll remind you, okay, I'll remind you, Moses and the guys had to put up with this crowd for a couple of years, griping, complaining, ready to kill him, and you know, blaming everything. If it goes wrong, it's his fault. His fault. You know, Moses, it's your fault. Would to God we had died in Egypt. At least we had something to eat, something to drink. Here we are out here. Hey, Moses, there's no indication he even hesitated a moment. He didn't hesitate a moment and said, let me think about it, Lord. No, he didn't do that. Man, he could have said, oh man, what an offer that is, God. But Moses, I want you to see, he saw a higher greatness and a higher honor. He was thinking of God's honor, not his own. Not his own. And sometimes it'll do us well when we're praying to make that plain to the Lord, saying, no, Lord, this is what I want, but Lord, if it's not the best for me, then don't do it. Don't do it. And don't allow it to happen. But there's the unselfishness of Moses when he prayed. Oh, man, how good it'd be if we'd learned to pray with that unselfish attitude. But not only unselfish attitude, look at the kindness in his prayer. I'm going to say it again. You said, man, you've said that five times already. Good. I want you to see how bad it was, all right? Moses is praying for the Israelites, the people that wanted to kill him. Just read a little further up. They wanted to kill him and Caleb and you know, Joshua. Said, how dare you? You know, they come back and they said, we can win. Let's go up and take the land, and the people mad, they want to kill. They were ready to replace. They were always ready to replace Moses. Let's pick us another leader. On occasion, back there in these past year, couple of years, there have been times where they said, let's pick another leader that'll take us back to Egypt. Because Moses is not going to do it. But the kindness of Moses, that was the people he prayed for. Hey, normally we'll pray for our friends. We'll pray for our friends. But the Bible says you need to pray for those that hate you and those that despitefully use you. Hey, that's where it gets hard. But there's the kindness. Those people wanted to kill Moses. Moses is praying that God keep them alive. Those people wanted to replace him, and God, Moses is begging God that they wouldn't replace them, that he wouldn't replace them. What a kind prayer. What a kind prayer. But that's praying because, man, Moses had a heart for what he was doing. But only you look with me at verse 20. He prayed, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Would you just stop and think just a minute what that means? The prayer of Moses saved a nation. The prayer of Moses saved a nation. One man. One man praying. But it saved the nation of Israel. God said, okay, I'll pardon them. You've asked me to. You've made a good argument. Now, the Bible doesn't say all that, but God does tell us. He said, all right, I'll pardon them. Because you prayed, I'll do it. He said, where are you going, preacher? I want you to remember this. The potential of prayer should never be discounted or overlooked. Sometimes we say this. I have said this. And usually right after I say it, I think that doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound right. Because I say something like this. Well, the only thing we can do is pray. What do you mean that's the only thing we can do? It's the best thing we can do. It's the first thing we ought to do. We ought to do it. But too often we look at it and we look around and say, well, guess we're stuck. The only thing we can do is pray. Like I say, I've said it on occasion, and I thought, I don't mean it the way it sounds. I don't mean it as if, well, you know, there's nothing else. That is the thing to do. That is the thing to do. The potential in prayer is amazing. It's amazing. When God says there in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. Ever wonder about what you could have had if you'd asked? Ever wonder that? What could you have had from God if you'd asked? When I was a kid, I've always liked to read. I still like to read. When I was a kid, I enjoyed reading, and I got started reading Zane Grey Westerns, because culture is good for you, all right? I got started reading Zane Grey Westerns as a kid. There was a man in our church by the name of Don Bush, and it was down in Florida, and I don't know what happened, but he had all the hardback volumes of Zane Grey, every Western he had written. And I started borrowing them from him and reading them. All right? I began to do that, and I'd read them. Well, then we moved to Texas. After we're in Texas, my dad said to me, you know, son, if you'd asked Brother Bush for those Westerns, I believe he'd have given them to you. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a happy thought right then. Because I thought, why are you telling me now? Why didn't you tell me when we were in Florida and I could look at Brother Bush and say, hey, Brother Bush, you got all those books, you've read them, how about giving them to me, all right? I don't know how I would have asked, but I think I would have asked if I'd have known what it might have done. But wait a minute, how much could we have gotten from God if we'd have asked? If we'd just pray. If we'd just pray. Oh, not for our own benefit. Not just to, you know, man, so many people today, it's enrich me, make me great, make me wonderful. No, not talking about that. But think how much you could have affected so many different areas, so many different things, maybe have changed your life, your family's life, if you'd have just prayed. But we don't. We don't. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Moses gave us a magnificent example of how to intercede in prayer. We ought to pray that way. We ought to pray that way. Lord, man, when I'm praying for somebody that's in need physically, I don't know how many times I've said, Lord, would you just show yourself strong on their behalf? Lord, if you'll do it, we're going to give you all the praise and glory. It's coming to you. It's not coming to man. It's going to come to you. I mean, if we'd just learn to keep praying, keep praying. Moses could have looked at that situation there in Numbers 14 when God said to him, Moses, how long is this people going to provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? And all of that, he could, and Moses could have said, Lord, you got me. I'm tired of this bunch too. I've had it. But he didn't. He prayed again. He prayed. His prayer saved a nation. Prayer saved a nation. I want to ask you tonight, what do you need to be praying about? What do you need to be praying about? What do you need to be praying for? Well, preacher, I've got everything I could possibly want. I'm not talking about what you want. I'm talking about what you ought to pray you want from God. Maybe there's need. It's not your need, but you need to pray. Hey, Moses wasn't the one that needed the prayer. He didn't say, Lord, remember me. He didn't say, Lord, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they've been faithful. Remember them. He prayed for somebody else that had a need. What do you need to pray for? We need to pray for tonight. Would you bow your heads, every head bowed, every eye closed in just a moment? I'm going to ask Ms. Noble if she'll come to the piano. And, man, it's open season, if you will, on the altar tonight. You need to come. What do you need to pray for? Would you come and just take just a little bit of time and pray? Too often time we do not pray and we don't have because we don't ask. Would you come tonight? You spend that time. Listen, what about you? Maybe you've counted on your own merit and your own goodness and your own grateful, you know, to get you to heaven. It will not get you there. You get to heaven, you're going to have to come to the Lord Jesus and ask him to save your soul and forgive your sin. Hey, what do you need? We wait tonight. Would you come? If you need to talk to me, I'm here. Would you come while we wait?